Well, we're now going to get Jesus compared to, we've had a little bit of Aaron and the high priest, but we're going to get more of that. Jesus' ministry is better than the priesthood and the ministry of Aaron. And Aaron was the top priest. So if you're going back, you're going to something lesser. That's the point he's trying to make out. And he introduces it by just saying this: he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Which brings us on to chapter 7. This interesting man called Melchizedek. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. So we have in Genesis, I believe it's round about chapter 14, is it? Something like that. Three verses about this man called Melchizedek. Abraham had gone and fought on behalf of his nephew Lot. Lot had been captured by these kings of the north and taken captive, and lots of people had gone captive as well. And Abraham gets his men out, he's got quite a large army really, goes to rescue Lot and defeats these kings, and on his way back he's met by this man called Melchizedek. And he's described as king of Salem. Now, where is Salem? Now, there are various opinions on this one. Some people think it's Jerusalem, because the word Salem is involved in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem at that time was called Jebus. It only became called Jerusalem later on. It was a Jebusite city, a Canaanite city, in the time of Abraham. Anyway, Melchizedek, we'll assume, was a king and a priest.
Right.
Yes. We'll get to deal with his name in a minute. And he lived in this place called Salem, and he was a priest of God Most High, he's called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so he's a very special man. Some of the Jews have the thought that he was Shem.
Right.
Was it Noah's son Shem?
Yeah.
Lived long enough to be around when Abraham was there. Oh, that's a long time, isn't it? But yes. It could have been Shem, but I don't think it is Shem, because he's called Melchizedek. Right? Why not give him the right name if he's got one, yes? I think he's called Melchizedek, that's his name. Now let's look at what this name means. The writer here is analysing the name. He says, first, his name means King of Righteousness. That's two words, or justice, yes? Two words put together, often names in Hebrew have meanings, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Melchi means king of.
Yeah.
Tzedek means righteous or righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's king of righteousness. That's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's also called king of Salem. Yes, king of Salem. Then also king of Salem, which means king of peace. You know where the word Salem is related to? The word shalom. Yes. You change the S to sh. It's the same letter, yeah? Shalom, yes. So he's the king of Shalom. Now, the interesting thing about this, and he doesn't make much of this, but there's a truth in this: you can't have peace unless you've got righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's how it works, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
God brings righteousness, and therefore then there's peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works with us. For Jesus, Jesus brings us righteousness, and therefore we have peace with God. Well, this king called Melchizedek, he meets with Abraham, and what happens? He doesn't tell you what happened in our story here, but there's something happened. What did he do when Melchizedek? Oh, just one more thing to say about this.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about him, he's a king and a priest.
Yeah.
And in Israel, under the law, God separated kingship from the priesthood, so that the king couldn't be a priest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? And one king tried to do it. It's called Uzziah Isaiah's time. King Uzziah decided he was too big for his boots. He didn't think that, but he was. He decided, I'll be a priest as well. And he went into the temple and started to try and offer sacrifices, just like the priests did. And the priests ushered him out. And he was glad to go, because leprosy broke out on him. God judged him. Because you can't mix the kings with the priests, because there's only one person who can be a king and a priest at the same time, and that's the Messiah.
Yes.
Right, so messing it up would spoil the picture. That's what really is teaching there.
Mm-hmm.
But this man is the king and the priest already. Yeah. So he's going to be a, what we could say, a role model, a picture of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's why it's the order of Melchizedek. He's different from the priesthood, as we'll see with Aaron and the rest of them. Yeah. That's what the contrast he's making. Yeah. Well, let's see. He's the king of righteousness and the king of peace. What a good man he is, yes? A priest of God.
Yeah.
And one other thing that he doesn't mention in the account, which people have made much of, and I'm not entirely sure of, what did Melchizedek do when Abraham came to town or passed through?
He gave him something.
Bread and wine. Gave him bread and wine, yes. Uh-huh. Now, some people make this great symbolism of that. You know, it's a bit like the communion type stuff.
Yes.
I don't think that's what it's about.
No.
He doesn't mention it in the Hebrew. If it had been that, he would have made mention of it, I think.
Hmm.
What's he doing? What's Melchizedek doing?
He's
feeding and watering the tired people who've just been on a long journey and a hard battle.
Yeah.
He's refreshing them. He's blessing them.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about. He blessed them. And that's the point that the writer to the Hebrews is making.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to that, it says, without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. What does it mean, without father or mother, without a genealogy? He's like Jesus. He isn't Jesus, because he says he's like Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes, so he's not Jesus.
Yeah.
Let me offer you this. Really what he's saying is, if you read your Bible, it doesn't tell you where he came from, and it doesn't tell you where he went, and it doesn't tell you when he's got any ancestry. He's a perfect picture of who Jesus is. Yeah, you got the idea. Then. In those days, I'm certain Melchizedek had a mum and a dad, and he may have had kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Bible doesn't include those, because it's not relevant to the story. But the other is, God didn't include it because he wanted to use him as a model picture of the real priest king, who doesn't have a mother in the sense that he's divine, and he's a priest forever. He's not going to die. Yeah, so the picture of Melchizedek, he deliberately left out the ancestry and his descendants and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm quite sure he was an ordinary, everyday Canaanite godly man. Yeah. But he serves as a role model. That's the idea, the picture of him. Yes. You got the idea. So without mother, without father, so it means he didn't have anything written down. Yeah, he does exist, but it's not written down.
Yeah.
And in fact, I mean, that's one of the ways that they used to speak in some of the times. They would describe, for example, a Gentile who become a Jew. If he become a Jew, they would say he was fatherless, because his father wouldn't count as a Jew, because he was still a Gentile. Yeah, so he was described as fatherless. But he got his father down the birth register, I'm sure. You've got the idea.
Yeah.
So it's really just the technical way of saying is, he didn't write down his ancestry or his background or anything else like that. And the reason for it, as the writer to the Hebrews is saying, is God's using him as a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So without beginning of days or end of life, well, that's true, and that's only true of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Without beginning of days, he's eternal, and there's no end of life because he lives forever.
Yeah.
He's like Jesus. The Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So his priesthood, in effect, is showing us that it's a type of different type of priesthood. It's an eternal one.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it makes more of this later on, but we'll get there, yeah? Now, he's going to compare to Abraham and all the other things as well. There. Just think how great he was. He must have been somebody special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even the patriarch, Abraham, gave him a tenth of the plunder. Abraham gave him the pickings of what they got as a gift, as a thank you, because the man had blessed him.
Yeah.
And the writer here is saying is, just think how great he was compared him to the patriarch.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get better than the top.
Yeah.
Well, you do, because he's called Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Abraham, top man. Yes. And he gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now, the law requires the descendants of Levi, who became priests, to collect a tenth from the people, that is their brothers, or even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. It's just going to give you a little interesting bit. What he's going to say is, Abraham was blessed by this man and gave a tenth to him, a tithe. Well, Abraham, being the ancestor of Levi and the priests, in a sense, Levi, who was inside Abraham at the time, because he hadn't been born, Levi, who was inside Abraham, gave the tenth as well. You got the idea? That's the logic he's making there.
Uh-huh.
And the priesthood requires that the Levites had to be given the tenth. They're the priests. So they collect the tenth from the people. That is their brothers, even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected the tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. So Melchizedek blesses this man and receives the tithe, so it's showing that his priesthood is bigger and more important than Levi's priesthood. He's going to be saying this, and he's going to try and say it in a nice way. Can you see that Jesus supersedes all the stuff that you've been talking about?
Mm.
As we'll see. Yeah. So he's doing it delicately, but that's the point he's going to get to. Yeah. Without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater. Well, that's right, we know that, yeah.
Yes.
Melchizedek blessed Abraham, so he's bigger.
Yes.
And that's it, yeah. In one case, the tenth is collected by men who die. That's the Levites.
Yes.
The Levites collect the tithes. But they die. They keep having to replace Levites because they die. Yeah. In the other case, that's Melchizedek, signifying Jesus, it's by him who is declared to be living. So he's living forever, effectively. So his priesthood is a continuing priesthood. So Jesus is the living one. Yep. One might even say, this is the bit I've said earlier, he might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham. Because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the idea. That's what he's really saying. Yeah. So Abraham and Levi and Aaron are all below Melchizedek.
Yeah.
And who is Melchizedek like and picture of?
Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah. We're hoping they've got the message. That's the point he's making.
Yeah.